All right, y'all that are left, raise your Bibles up and let me see them. I want to see the Word of God. Raise your phone if you have one, your tablet, your actual Bible. Thank you, Lord, I like the actual Bible sometimes. Good job, y'all. Now, I always love to raise it up because I want you to beware that in that book is every answer to any question that you have in any way. It is your manual. It's what we live by. Amen. If you're a believer, then you live by that book. Amen. And what I want you to do, if you can, is get used to carrying that book. And it doesn't matter who sees you. And you're in an elevator and you're going to a service somewhere, and someone comes in that doesn't have the Bible, but you do. You know, it's awkward, right? I mean, because they're like, they don't know what to do, if they should bow or if they should... No, I'm kidding. It's just a weird deal. Well, but you know what? It's the way a Christian lives, that Bible. And if you start carrying it, then you'll start learning how to find different scriptures that just will help you. Amen? Because listen, we go through a lot. Ask some of these youngins. Relationship issues are devastating in some ways. And we need to know, especially if you can't get to the preacher or a family member that knows the Word of God that can pray with you, you may need to do it yourself. And so I want you to get used to carrying the Word of God with you. Amen? Now, most of y'all know in about a month, I'm going to be leading. I'm the president of the Cowboy Ministers Network. There's ministers all over the country. And we have a conference. And this is about the time that I begin to study what God has for me to minister to all of those preachers, music ministers, or, you know, evangelists, prophets, you name it. And they come. So, I always preach it here first to make sure y'all like it, because if y'all like it, then they'll like it. Amen? And this is a good way to tune up on what the Lord is showing me. Because listen, the Spirit of God, the third of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, He's the teacher of all. And what He ministers to even a minister that needs it. We need ministry because we're ministering to the flock constantly. He's a pretty cool Spirit of God that knows what y'all need as well as what ministers need to get in order to get fed. And so I want to deliver a message that I believe the Lord has for the ministers' conference, and I want to start it right here. Now, understanding the Spirit of God, the Bible says if you're led by the Spirit of the Lord, you're a son or a daughter of God. So that's why we talk to Him. I tell people, when you talk to God through prayer, you don't have to change the way you talk. You don't have to use these thous and thuses. You just talk how you normally talk. Just leave out the cuss words. Amen. He understands how you talk, in other words. He understands your vernacular, your way of, your English, in other words. And so, just visit with Him. Well, with that said, though, is we need to be led by His Spirit. And I don't have time to teach you about, you know, how He leads different people, but I know how He leads me. There's times when I'll go through the Word of God and something jumps out at me. Wow, that's exactly what I needed to read. He'll bring a thought to my mind. Why? Well, because we have the mind of Christ, the Bible says. When He brings that thought to my mind, then I judge it. I make sure that it is God or it's the enemy. I don't get mixed up if it's me. Because if I have the mind of Christ, then I'm a part of moving on what God wants to do. I mean, that's all of us. Jesus is not here any longer. Say amen to that. So it's up to you, us, to carry on what God has established through the Word of God. So that's why we come to church, to learn how to live in the kingdom, in His ways of doing things. Say amen to that. Amen. Now, when you're led by the Spirit of God, then I think this message that I'm about to deliver, and it's not going to be finished today. It'll probably be a week or two before we really understand kind of what God's wanting to do here. And so let's start that way. Amen. We're going to be in the book of Matthew chapter 7. Now, if I titled this message, it would be one word. You know what that is? Authority. One word. Authority. Now listen to me. I don't have time to go across this crowd and figure out your maturity in your Christian life. There's going to be a lot of people that come to church and they have been in church all their lives, and they are very mature in the Word of God. They understand it. They live by it. But there's also people that come to church that are brand new in their Christian faith. And we're not talking about age, by the way. Because there's a lot of 60, 70, and 80-year-old people been in church all their lives, and they don't have a lot of knowledge of the Word of God. They just went to church. And then you get to a church and you start learning, wow, you can actually operate in the kingdom of God. Living in the world, but not of it, right? And that's why we come to church. So when I start saying words like authority, it's very important to a believer to understand authority. A mom and dad have authority over their children, not other people's children. Say amen to that. But over their own children, they have authority. So before Seth and London went to college, if I said something, by golly, I'm meant it. And they needed to do it. Say amen, Seth. Well, that's what a parent is supposed to do. But in our society today, because moms and dads want to just be friends with their children, a lot of times they don't take the authority that a parent should take. Not to be their friend, even though we're friendly, but to be a parent. And when you're a parent, you grow children up in the ways of the Lord. So that when they get older, they won't depart from what you taught them, which is the ways of the Lord. Amen. Okay. So when you start having a family, you'll understand this. Because a parent that has no authority over their children, then the kids run everything. And there's rebellion. And there's discipline problems, and there's chaos, and there's confusion, and there's all those kind of things, right? But when you have authority, I'm not saying a kid won't make a mistake, because I made a bunch of them when I was a kid. But when you have authority, then they're supposed to do what you say when they're under your household, you know. Well, speaking about Christian things in the kingdom, a lot of people don't understand the authority that they have in Christ Jesus. Therefore, they let the devil just whoop all over them. That's why you see good people. Well, I preached that message. Y'all probably heard me say it before. I preached a message that was big. We need to find it. It's in the archive somewhere. Why bad things happen to good people. Because when you don't understand authority, and you may be a good, awesome believer, love God, but when you don't understand authority, then the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10. And when he destroys and attacks, then when you don't understand authority, then that's when you start doing things like the world. You get into fear, you get into doubt. You get into unbelief. And when you get that way, it's dangerous, because then you start blaming God for all the bad things that happen to you. When in all reality, there's a devil. And that devil's the one that steals, not God, kills, not God, and destroys, not God. Amen. See, so when you come to church, we need to learn, wait a minute, I need to understand the authority that I have in my Savior, Jesus, that lives on the inside of me, right? And it's just not coming to church and hoping to feel better or raising your hand at the end of the service and getting saved. That's a great thing, by the way. Amen. We need to give our hearts to Jesus. But when you just put on the helmet of salvation and then the rest of your body is naked, you don't have the breastplate of righteousness. You don't have the shoes of preparation of the gospel of truth. You don't have the full armor of God on. Then that's when the devil, he's like a good old hunter. He just constantly trying to, yeah, let me get her. I got her. Let me get her. Oh, yeah, him. Let me get him with some doubt. Well, when you understand your authority, the Bible says no fiery dart is going to penetrate you. Okay. So really, this is good stuff. Even if you haven't been in your Christian walk for a long period of time, we've got to understand authority. And a new believer that gets a hold of this at an early age, whoo! I mean, they'll be fired up for God. I mean, you may be the fanatical one that people talk about, but that's okay. Because guess who they come to when all hell breaks loose in their life? You. They come to us. Not that we're better than anybody, but they just want to come to someone that has some answers. In college, the Bible study was in my dorm room until there was a heartbreak. It was my end of my freshman year, and then I had a little heartbreak that most of y'all know about. A stinking girl. Called me on the telephone to break up with me. I said, do what? Don't you know who I am? She said, yeah, I want to break up. It was not just a short, relationship. It was long. She could sing. She was the homecoming queen. We was at a big, big school in Odessa, Texas. Oh. But my heart was broke. I went back to the ranch, remember? I went back to the ranch and I'd lost weight. My heart was broke. And it was a devastating time at the time. Obviously, it's a good thing, right? Because you should see my wife, you know. The blessing of the Lord. Wow. But it was hurtful. And I had a decision. I could either run to God or run to the world. And 2 years, most of y'all know my testimony, I ran to the world. The party was at my house. I was a fun guy. But you know what? Finally, one day, I started learning about the authority. Because heartaches and attacks of the enemy and trials and tribulations, they come on people so that the enemy can get you away from the truth, the hope of anything. And I mean, the enemy, on the other hand, wants you to run back to unbelief, fear, doubt, all those things. But boy, when you understand authority. And I knew authority, I just was kind of running, right? But man, when I said, God, forgive me, I know better. Man, I was released from all the guilt and condemnation that the devil brings, you see. Thank God for that. Amen. It's all because of authority, okay? So we're going to learn about authority. Matthew chapter 7, check this out. Let's all begin in verse 24. Say amen if you're there. Matthew chapter 7, 24. Is everybody there? Because I want everybody to see it. Or if you don't have a Bible, make a mental note of what we're talking about this morning. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. Therefore, and by the way, it's in red. Who's talking? Right? Jesus is talking. Whoever hears, hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. We sang that song, I Go to the Rock. And the rain descended. These are the attacks, y'all. These are the trials and tribulations that we all go through, no matter what. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew. Think about that. How many have ever lived in Lubbock? I mean, the wind blows. Wow. We would see a dust cloud coming. We thought it was a storm. It was just a dirt storm. The wind blows strong. Now that I'm a truck driver, I don't need another job. I just got tired of taking three rigs of steers to the rodeos. So I took my CDL last month and passed easily. I mean, I'm a truck driver. I can float those gears, Justin. You got to know what you're... And I've been watching videos, you know, because you want to learn being a truck driver. I mean, I'm going to be hauling 80,000 pounds worth of steers. And that's a big deal, right? And I've started seeing trucks turned over in certain parts of the country. Glenn Smith always told me when I got my first motorhome that when you get into a windstorm, turn into it and just stop. Don't keep it on the side, it'll tip you over. But and some of those big 18-wheelers just turned over, you know. So I started thinking about this message when it started talking about the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew. Because when the trials and tribulations are happening in our life, it's like a wind. The enemy's trying to blow you around, blow you over, really. And beat on the house, it says. Remember, it's on the rock. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Everyone hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great, why does Jesus say this, by the way? And great was its fall. You know why? Because the enemy wants you to fall so hard that you start blaming God for all the bad things that are happening instead of blaming the enemy who kills, steals, and destroys, who caused the wind in the first place. Boy, I get ticked off. I mean, I get this boldness. Y'all see it on me? I get this boldness because I'm constantly dealing with people that are under attack because this stupid devil... Can I say stupid in church? Well, the Bible does. Because the devil's attacking them. I said that to someone, a friend of mine that steer ropes. He comes home from his business. They stole his welding truck. They stole a big lift. They're expensive. They stole trailers and all of his equipment. And I wrote him a little note. And I said, first of all, the Bible says when you catch the thief, he owes you double. And the thief is not necessarily the person who stole it, because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's the person that the devil tempted, and that person submitted to the temptation of the devil to steal it. We're talking about the spirit that was behind, the spirit that steals, kills, and destroys, the spirit of darkness, right? And anyway, I wrote him a note, and at the end of it, I said, when you get all your stuff back, that's what we're going to believe. Of course, they found his truck, thank God. They just haven't found all of his tools. And at the end of it, I said, stupid devil. I just felt good about saying that. So that's where that came from. All right, look. What time is it? 11:40. Verse 28. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings, you see it, that the people were astonished at his teaching, For he taught them as one having, here it is, authority. Do y'all see that? Let me read it again, the full verse. Verse 28, Matthew chapter 7. And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, he just taught them in a parable, that the people were astonished. Are you astonished? Because as a believer, you should understand this is how we're to live. We should have authority. They were astonished at the sayings, at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes, the old doubt, fear, and unbelief. Well, see, when we go through junk in life, if it's a bad relationship, if it's confidence issues, that's what I deal with in rodeo a lot. Cowboys and cowgirls. You get a bull rider that's been to the national finals, and if they lose their confidence because they got hurt at one time in their career, it has a tendency to prolong in their career. Constant enemy bringing, well, what if that happens again where you broke your leg or the bull stomped on you? When someone misses, or a girl breaks, she breaks a barrier in the barrel race or in the breakaway, or hits a barrel, that's 5 seconds. When you hit a barrel, you're done, because the fastest time wins, right? Well, a lot of times then that's in their mind. Remember, the battlefield is in the mind. And in their mind then, they're constantly thinking, hope I don't hit a barrel. Instead of, no, you just ride your horse, right? I mean, just ride your horse. Just do what's right. I mean, you use the basics of roping. I mean, you got to score. Then you got to get to your spot, or you got to take some chances in the breakaway, huh? Oh, wow. It's tough nowadays. But it still all operates through basics. Well, the Word of God through belief and authority is the basics of Christianity. So Jesus is trying to teach us that you have authority. I looked up this word authority, and I did some good study here, y'all. Y'all are going to like this, because I couldn't pronounce any of these words. And I figured out how to pronounce all of them. And authority is a Greek word called exousia. Say amen to that. Well, the way it's pronounced, you would never get that. You have to be an English teacher to get that. But no, I got it, because I wrote X, and then I wrote O, and then see ya, you know. You should see it right here. I mean, it's just right there, okay? Exousia. You know what that is? Power. Authority. Authority. Oh, man. This is really good. But in order to really get a hold of authority, we've got to go to Mark chapter 3 now. So just turn to your right, not a very, very few pages, and go to Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. And go all the way to about verse 15. No, let's not do that. Let's go to 13 so I can build it up. Mark chapter 3 and verse 13. Yell amen if you're there. And he went up to up on a mountain, talking about Jesus. And he called to him those he himself wanted. And they came to him. This is talking about the 12 apostles. And then he appointed 12 that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach. And verse 15, here we go. And to have, say it with me. In my Bible, in the New King James, the Amplified, all of it, it's the same. It's authority and power. And it goes on to say to do what? To heal the sickness, cast out demons. And then it started telling all the disciples who he gave this authority to. When you study out authority, it uses words like dunamis power, Dunamis power, most of you should know if you come here very often, is the power that raised Jesus from the dead. Dunamis power. By the way, we all have that power. And it's not Superman power or Batman power, I always say. Dunamis power we have because we do everything in Jesus' name. Not on our own name, not on a church's name, not on a denominational name. On the name that's above all names, Jesus. And what we're learning here is the authority and power that we all have. You just got to learn how to operate it, you see. Now, with that power, which is exousia, it means the authority or the right to act, the ability, the privilege, the capacity, the delegated authority that Jesus had, the exousia to forgive sin, to heal sicknesses, cast out devils or demons. Exousia is the right to use the dunamis power, the might of Jesus that he gave his followers. Exousia to preach. Do you realize that all of you should be preaching in some way? Amen. We get so caught up on just the preacher being behind this podium. And I'm not talking about everybody has to be behind this podium. I'm talking about you have influence. We all have influence somewhere. Either with our friends, I don't care if it's one friend. Where we work, we have influence, right? How you handle things is your influence. Who you're around and how you act, they watch you. They watch me all the time, right? They know I'm a preacher. They always offer me beers at the rodeo. At the early part when I was first starting the rodeo, in the ministry, in the steer roping, been 13 years. We rodeoed team roping way before that professionally. They thought I didn't have any money. Here, you want a beer? I would just say, no, I don't. Not for me. Not offensive if it's for you. I don't care. That's between you and God. No, but not for me, okay? And so I would stand. I would stand on that authority that I don't want to do that, right? Okay? When you get out there in that world, you have influence on the way you live, the way you act, the way you talk. If you start talking the word of God, listen, that is the kingdom. That's authority. You have the right, according to the word of God, to use Jesus' name. Why? Well, because he lives on the inside of you, hopefully. Right? And if he doesn't live on the inside of you, you need to get saved today. Say amen to that, y'all. Come on. Amen. I mean, when you get excited about your Savior, whoo. I mean, I'm not talking about being goody-two-shoed, holier than thou. I'm just talking about you've got the authority when the enemy starts attacking you, trying to tell you you're no good, or you got issues and problems. You know what? No matter what you've done in your past, you've got the authority to say, thank God that my sins are forgiven. And when I asked God to forgive me of my sin, he threw that sin into the sea of forgetfulness. So my God, this is what you're saying to a devil, my God doesn't even remember my issues yesterday. Therefore, in Jesus' name, Satan, get thee behind me. Amen. You see, when you start understanding authority, you get that boldness. And people see it. So, they don't offer me beers any longer. Why? They know I don't do that. So, I just walk. I don't even have to tell people I'm a preacher. You know why? Because I walk in it. I walk as a minister, not holier than thou again, not because I'm better than anybody. I just know who I am in Christ. And then when I make a mistake, I'm quick. I apologize. Forgive me. Forgive me. I mean, you know, and I'm a very practical person. I'm a very practical preacher. I've told y'all my faults a lot of the time. Remember the time when I'm driving down the road, minding my own business, and a truck and trailer comes beside me and would not let me in? And I'm like, what's wrong with them? So I devised a plan. And I made them think I wasn't going to pass, because for some reason this truck would zoom over them and he wouldn't let me pass. And there was an 18-wheeler that I was just trying to pass. I wasn't necessarily speeding a lot. And I just wanted to get by. And he just, every time I'd put on my blinker to come over, he would scoot over in the other lane. And I'm like, something's wrong. Here I'm going to marry a couple that we raised up in the college rodeo. And this has been several years ago, by the way. And so as I'm coming around, Seth, I'm here. And he pulls over. So I acted like I was moving back over to the right lane to get around him. And when he moved over, and this is a cowboy, I identify with this sapsucker. When he moved to the right, I went in there. But when I got beside him, I slowed up. I said, I got you now. He was an older man. He started cussing me like you've never cussed before. I learned some words. Well, it made me mad. I'm probably in my 40s at this time, and I'm talking, he's got to be at least 116 in that area. He's old. Durr. And I pulled, and when he started using one finger to me and cussing, woo, and I was getting mad. I forgot I was a Christian. And I started saying, pull over. Just pull over. And I'm thinking to myself later on, it would have looked terrible. Williamson County Cowboy Church preacher gets arrested for whipping an old man, you know. I did it. And he wouldn't pull over, of course, and I'm thank God he didn't, you know. And then the Lord says, that was interesting. And I said, I'm not talking to you right now, sir. Even over that fault, I said, God, forgive me. I apologize. Right then, God forgot it. Now, I repented. I'm a minister of the gospel, and I was going to whip an older man. Listen to me. Man, I wish I had time, but we're going to dig into a lot deeper stuff as we're going. But listen, when I said, God, forgive me, he forgot it. Because the enemy, when he's attacking, is always going to bring up all of your faults. Everything you did wrong. But if you understand your authority, exousia, and your dunamis power, because of the Jesus that lives on the inside of you, you're not going to immediately think of all the wrongs you did back when, because that's what the enemy will do. He'll bring it to your mind. How about what you did yesterday? And then you're going to remind him with authority, Roger, right? With authority that sin is forgiven. That's why Jesus died. That's why we took communion a little bit ago, y'all. So what we're trying to do is help ministers, which in will help all of us, because we're all priests. Even though you may not be called to preach behind a pulpit, you are called to preach somewhere. And it might be that one person that takes years to finally give their heart to Jesus. That may be your assignment. But if you don't know authority and you don't know power that you have in Jesus' name, then you'll be afraid to do it. And I'm trying to say today, come on, you are a king's kid. You are an heir of God. You are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You are someone in Christ. You are the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. You can do. Say it, I can do. All things through Christ, which strengthens me. Say it, everybody. I can do. Say it. All things through Christ, which strengthens me. I got the strength to get through any battle, in other words. Amen? So, let's fire up. Let's get fired up because we're fixing to leave this ranch. And when you go out the gate, onto the street possibly, there might be an attack. The phone might ring. I thought you were going to get me some eggs before you come home. I don't know what I just, that's the first thing that came to my mind. But that, yeah, don't forget the eggs. So, we're king people. We're kingdom minded. We have authority. Okay? Now use it right. Not to condemn. We're only talking to the enemy, not to people. I say it again, one last time and I'll close. We're not wrestling. If he does something wrong against me or vice versa, I'm not dealing with him in the flesh. I'm dealing with the spirit behind someone doing us wrong. If someone stabs y'all in the back, whoever it is, we're not dealing with that person really. We're dealing with the spirit. The spirit of darkness, right? If you think of that, being kingdom-minded, that's how you're an overcomer. By the blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony. Amen? Amen? That's when you say, I'm the victor, not the victim. Right? I mean, we understand rodeo. So, when you have authority, and the devil attacks, no matter when it comes, and we're not exempt from attacks of the enemy, because we live in the world, but living not of it, then when the enemy attacks, that's when we go, I'm not going to lose my joy in this. I mean, the flood might have came and destroyed my gate and all my fences. Roger, I need a new gate, okay? And it was a big flood, as y'all know. Right? Do you really think I'm going to lose my joy? It costs money, right? You know what I'm going to say instead, devil? You owe me. According to the Word of God. I'll show you the Scripture in the book of Proverbs, where when you catch that thief, he owes you double. In one place it says sevenfold. Someone find that sometime. Tell me about that. It's in there. I've read it. I just don't remember where it's at. Sevenfold. So Seth, because the enemy tried to take some of your brain, he owes you double brain. I don't know if that works, but anyway, it sounded good. I love my family. And I love y'all. Thank y'all for receiving ministry of faith in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Father, thank you for all that you do in the lives of a believer. And we don't play church here, sir. So this is how heaven's going to be. We're going to get taught still. We're going to be taught faith in heaven just like here. Because that's your principle. But Father, we need to learn it here. Because we don't need peace in heaven. It's already there. The Prince of Peace is there. We need peace here. So Father, help us. Help us just learn about the Bible and how to live with authority in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're new, you'll find out that I will never leave a service without giving someone an opportunity to receive Jesus. If you're here this morning or you're watching and you never met Jesus, you don't know what would happen to you if you died. You don't know if you'd go to heaven or the place called hell. I want you to know that there's only one way to get to heaven, to the Father, And this is John chapter 14. Verse 6 says this. Jesus says, I'm the way, truth, and life. And no one comes unto the Father but through me or by me. So you have to ask Jesus, the Son of God, to be the Lord of your life. If you have never done that, I want you to do it right now. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray a prayer. We're going to pray it out loud. All the believers in here that are born again are going to pray this prayer with you. We're all going to pray it. Not to get saved again. If you're born again, you're born again. You got to have confidence in that. But if you've never asked Jesus to be the Lord, think about that, Lord of your life, I want you to do it right now. And you won't do it by yourself. I'm not going to have you come down to the front. I'm going to have you right where you're sitting or standing or watching. Pray this prayer. And we're going to pray Romans chapter, 10 verse 9, 9 verse 10, whatever. And it says this, if you'll confess Jesus before men with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So when you pray the prayer, we're asking Jesus to become our Lord. And let's do it out loud. You ready? So, in all the believers, would you pray this? But I'm mainly talking to anyone in here. If you died, you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell, you've got to pray this prayer right now. And mean what you pray. You ready? Let's all pray it together. Out of your mouth, say this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Jesus, come into my heart. And save me. Forgive me of every sin. I believe you've been raised from the dead. And today I'm saved. Come into heaven when I leave this earth. But while I live here, on this earth, I need heaven. I need peace. I need joy. I pray this prayer. Knowing that Jesus is my Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Before you lift your head and open your eyes, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, here's the biggest thing that I think is very, very important in a believer's life, is that you confess it before men. I'm not going to have you get down to the front, come down to the front, but with every head bowed and eyes closed, if you just prayed that prayer, I want you to be bold enough when I count to three to raise your hand up and say, I prayed that prayer. That's what you're doing when you raise it up. I prayed that prayer and meant it. Jesus is now my Lord. And then just put your hand right back down. In other words, never be ashamed that Jesus became your Lord. Jesus says, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. So if you just prayed that prayer, with no one looking around, I want you to be bold. If you just prayed that prayer in a minute and you did it for the first time, get that hand up at the count of three and then put it right back down. One, with boldness. Two, three, go. Praise God. Anybody? All right, look at me. What that means is that everybody in this congregation is born again. Thank you, Lord. I like that. So, a great message for all us believers. But we always have to be minded about new people. Amen? So invite people to come. If you don't know how to lead them to Jesus, you haven't been praying that prayer. But if you want, just bring them here and we'll get them born again. And then they'll start getting taught the Word of God. Amen? Yeah.